Okay. Oh, there we go. So if you didn't catch that last part, no? Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right, I'm on. Hopefully I'll stay on. Okay, but if you missed the last part, what was the treat last night was having that delicious Thai food at the Thai restaurant, and I'd ask you to particularly be praying for the owner. Her nickname is Joy. And pray that she would come to experience Christ as her Savior as well. And please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. Let's pray one more time before we read God's word together. Lord, teach us this morning, by your Spirit, what it means to invest for your kingdom. Oh God, we thank you that Jesus is our King and he has set us free. We thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have in him, new life that we have in him. In fact, all that we have is in him. And so, Lord, I pray that it would be our desire that we would invest for you. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How do you invest what you have received? When you hear that question, you often think, well, how do I invest in my education? Or invest in my career? Or invest in my house? Or how do I invest for my children's education? Or how do I invest for my retirement? But first of all, we need to remember that everything we have has been given to us by God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24 and 25, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. For he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." So how are you investing your life and everything else that God has given you? Now back to our passage here in Matthew 25, talking about the parable of the talents. The master who gave the talents to his servants refers to God. God, our loving master, has blessed us with these talents. Now, when we think about talents, we think, well, these are skills or special abilities that we have. But actually, in the Bible, a talent was money or a weight in the Roman and Greek world. Now, the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. So I went to my Greek New Testament dictionary, and I looked up that word that means talent. My Greek New Testament dictionary said a talent is worth 5,000 to 6,000 denarii. One denarius is equal to one day's work. So we're talking about 5,000 to 6,000 days of work. You break that down into years, that's 19 to 23 years of work if you work 5 days a week. Now let's put it in the terms of that we can relate to in Pennsylvania. Here in Pennsylvania, minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. And you multiply that by 19 to 23 years of work, we're talking of somewhere between $286,000 upwards to $346,000. Now, other Bible scholars say a talent was 60 pounds of either gold or silver. Now think of what gold and silver is worth per ounce, 60 pounds of that. The point of it is that God has blessed all of us with a huge blessing in our life. And so the question is, how are we going to use this huge blessing for the Lord and invest for him? Now, in our parable, the servants who received 5 talents and the servant who received 2 talents, they used the money of the talents and their business talents, and they doubled it. And they were commended by the master for being a good and faithful servant. But that servant who received 1 talent, and remember, that was a huge amount of money, he buried it. And when the master came back from the long journey, he was judged. He was cast out because he was wicked and lazy. I am sure every one of you here this morning, you want to be a good and faithful servant. So I would like to share with you from God's word here, four ways that we can be a good and faithful servant to invest all the blessings of life, and most of all, the salvation and the good news that we have in Jesus. And here's the word, Pastor Tim. The first one is our time in prayer. The fact that I am a Christian and serving the Lord in Thailand can largely be attributed to the prayers of a dear Christian lady by the name of Elma Moore. I grew up in Williamsport, and in ninth grade, a good friend of my dad's became a Christian. And this man was excited for his faith. He knew that he was born again. He was a new man in Christ. And he shared with our family the good news of salvation. My mom was the first to trust in Christ. And he was a part of an independent Bible-believing church downtown in Williamsport. And there we met Elma. And Elma, I was impressed with this dear lady who just beamed with the joy of the Lord. God's peace was upon her. And after we had attended the church for about 3 or 4 months, we were invited to Elma's house. Her daughter was having a birthday party. And so at the end of that birthday party, this friend of my dad's comes up to me and he says, "Ed, would you like to become a Christian?" My response to him was, "I sure don't want to go to hell." I knew I was a sinner. And there on the front porch of the house, on the front porch of Elma's house, I prayed with him and trusted in Christ as my Savior. I experienced that joy and peace because I knew my sins were forgiven. Jesus freed me from that burden of sin. I came out to the kitchen and I told Elma the good news and I said, "I just prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior." And she said, "Praise God, I have been fasting and praying for your salvation and your family's salvation." Elma was one who encouraged me to have my daily devotions. And I remember often in church as a teenager, she would ask, "Are you having your devotions? Are you being alone with the Lord in prayer?" And then when God called me to serve him full time, she rejoiced with me that God had called me into the ministry. She first prayed for me as a young pastor here in the States, and she prayed for the last 26 years that we have been missionaries in Thailand. Towards the end of her life, Elma had great difficulty reading, and her daughter had to read our prayer letter to her. And the last time I saw Elma was in September. And because of dementia, her memory had faded. She did not remember who I was. But when I started talking about what Jesus was doing in answer to prayer, she knew two things. They are the most important things in life. Jesus loved her, and she loves Jesus. At the beginning of January, she passed away and went to be with Jesus in heaven at the age of 88. And during the funeral, the pastor gave us an opportunity to share words of reflection about Elma. And I stood and said, "I will be eternally grateful for Elma." And as well, my mom stood up, and also thank God for Elma. My sister stood up and thank God for Elma, because she prayed for us, prayed for our family. She was a spiritual mentor for my mother. Many other people stood thanking God for Elma because she prayed for them. She told them and taught them about Jesus, who she loved so much. I thank God for Elma's prayers. And I thank God for your prayers. Thank you so much for praying for us. I am blessed when I see today's bulletin, the prayer requests that you are praying for us, and the fact that you as a church will be praying for us throughout this month of March. Thank you so much. But not just for us, but for missionaries around the world that you pray for. Thank you so much for praying that God's kingdom would advance, that the darkness would be pushed back, that people would come to the light of Jesus. Thank you for praying. We have our Thailand display table back on the back in the foyer there. There is one thing we want you to take. Please take our prayer card. One person has already asked me, how can I get your prayer letter? We are doing our prayer letter through our Eastern PA missionary website, which we call cmastories.com. Any missionary who's from Eastern PA and they're in an open country where we can actually talk about what we're doing and things can be on the internet, they're featured there. Every month, my wife, Sue, writes our monthly prayer letter. In fact, our deadline is the 7th of the month. And so in the coming days, we will put that out before Thursday. So I encourage you, take our prayer card, go to cmastories.com, click subscribe to get our update. You'll put in your email address, and then you'll get a response by email to say yes. I want to get the Danekers monthly update. And so you can see pictures and videos. And the neat thing is if you're subscribing for the first time, there's all of these previous prayer letters. And you can read for like the last 2 years what God's been doing in answer to prayer in Thailand. So please take a prayer card and then subscribe at cmastories.com. The second thing that we can do to invest for God's kingdom is use your resources for God's kingdom. It's obvious that here in the parable of the talents, God wants us to use our finances and our resources for God's kingdom. And then he will reward us. None is an example of one who is investing for God's kingdom. None was the first new person in the town of Bonpal when we went there to plant a church to decide to trust in Jesus as her Savior and follow him. We told her that we want this whole town, in fact, the whole district of Bonpal of 93,000 people to come to know Jesus. And we want to start a church here, and we told her that we're going to begin with having a Wednesday evening cell group. And she said, have it right here in my beauty shop. My beauty shop is right downtown in the market area. There's lots of parking. People know where it's at. Have it right here in my shop. But her shop was only 12 by 12. Glass on three sides. But she said, people don't know what Christians do. So they can see through the window, and I don't have air conditioning, so open the door, turn on the fans, and people can see and hear what we do. Well, the kids peek through the door. Now, my wife, Sue, loves kids. And she saw those kids, And she said to Nun, can we have a Saturday morning children's Bible club? And Nun said, yes. And so Nun's cutting hair and Sue's teaching the kids. In fact, she prayed that she would have customers during Bible club so that they could hear about Jesus too. Well, the neighbors noticed that she was opening her shop up for Christian activities on Wednesday night and now Saturday morning, and they said, how much are the foreigners paying you rent? You know, surely nobody opens their shop like you do for free. They have to be paying you. Nothing. I open my shop because I love God, and I want you to have a chance to love God as well. Well, they noticed that then every Wednesday night, she would make a simple Thai dinner. It might be fried rice. It might be fried noodles. And they ask, how much are the foreigners paying you for the food? And she said, nothing. I do it because I want to. She was using the resources that God had given her to advance the kingdom of God. Thank you for using your resources for advancing the kingdom of God. Thank you for giving to support the ministry around the world. Thank you for giving to the Great Commission Fund. If you notice in our pew, there's the offering envelope. One of your options for giving is to give to the Great Commission Fund. That is how Sue and I receive our support as Alliance missionaries. It helps us in very practical ways. It provides a monthly living allowance, the rent for our house, health insurance, a little bit of savings towards our retirement. It pays for our transportation back to Thailand. June the 25th, we're planning to fly out of Harrisburg Airport back to Bangkok. Our plane ticket comes out of the Great Commission Fund. Once we're back in Thailand, our ministry expenses, like we could be driving the car for a Bible study or buying Thai gospel tracts, all of that comes out of the Great Commission Fund. But not only for us, but more than 700 of our missionary colleagues who serve around the world, serving here in the United States and in about 70 countries around the world. And so thank you for giving so that God's kingdom can advance around the world. So I encourage you, designate there on your offering envelope. Or if you want to, you can also give online at the Alliance website. Now, there's some people who want a more personal connection. And the Alliance gives that option. You actually can designate for the support of a particular missionary. So you could go to the Alliance website and you can give for the support of Ed and Sue Daneker in Thailand. The nice thing about that is we get notice every month of our gifts. And I am sure to make a thank you note or a thank you email to that person and thanking them, and then I give you a fresh update of what God is doing right now and some prayer requests on how you can keep on giving and praying. So thank you for investing your resources for God's kingdom. The third thing is invest our service in love. Later here in Matthew chapter 25, in verses starting with verse 31, is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And Jesus commends those people who are the sheep because they love the least of these. They love the people in society who are considered the least. And they love them in very practical ways. God wants us to love people with a genuine love and not to do it out of a sense of duty. At Bangkok Bible College, at Bangkok Bible College and Seminary, there the college has a requirement for their students that every student has to do weekend ministry in a local church. When we started the church in Banpal, we did not yet have a Thai pastor. So to begin to address that need, I contacted the seminary and asked if there was a Bible college student who could come and serve at our church on the weekend. My prayer is that in the future, this student might possibly become our pastor. And then my prayer was is that God would send us someone who was not just doing an assignment. God sent us Sitichai. Sitichai came as a stranger. That first Sunday he was with us, he only knew Sue's name and my name. But he went around our church with about 30 people at the time with a yellow Post-it sticky notes. And he asked everybody's name, wrote it down, and then a brief description so that he would remember. The next Sunday, he remembered everybody's name. That second Sunday, he was our angel from heaven. Because that Sunday, we were celebrating our official church opening, that we were the very first church in the whole district of Banpal to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. In the morning, our mother church joined us for a special time of worship, and in the afternoon, our little storefront building was packed with 100 people. As the weekend approached, Sue and I were feeling kind of stressed out about getting ready for this very special weekend. Sitichai comes Friday afternoon. And his first question was, what can I do to help? And so when we put up a tent out in front of our church building, he was there, ready to help. He helped us set up tables and chairs under that tent, set up in the church, got ready the table settings with all the silverware. And then that Sunday, he was helping back there with the sound and the audiovisual booth, helping with those things behind the scenes. When we were done, he helped with the cleanup and the put away. And after a full day of worship and celebration, it's like 6 o'clock. And Sitichai comes to me and says, what else? I looked at my watch and I said, Sitichai, the last van going back into Bangkok leaves in a few minutes. It's 30 miles back to the Bible college where he was studying. I said, Sitichai, if you don't get on that van, you're going to walk. No, 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 you're not done, he says. I want to help. All of us had to insist, get on that van. It's the last van. Otherwise, you're going to walk. He wanted to serve. He wanted to serve to the very end. Sitichai is from the mountains of northern Thailand, more than 500 miles away. And actually coming and serving in Bangkok, or serving in Banpal, just outside of Bangkok, he's come and he's like a missionary. And he's come and he loves our people. And our people love him. Particularly the children love him. Our Saturday morning Bible club is now held in the church building. And actually, we're only a couple minutes walk from Nun's Beauty Shop, so the kids can walk to church. We have Bible club Saturday morning in the church. And those of you who've taught children, you know that afterwards you got to clean up. So Saturday afternoon, he's cleaning up. Well, the kids live in the neighborhood. They just pop in. And so he lets them help, hands them a broom, a mop, etc. But quite a few times, I've noticed, then afterwards, supper time. He feeds the kids a free supper using his own money. Not only does Siti Chai serve in love, he serves with a vision. There was one time he was walking to our fresh food market in Banpeo, and as he walked, God gave him a vision of their tremendous spiritual darkness there in Banpeo, and it was only our church who was sharing the light of Jesus. And God gave him the idea that we need to have our church members open their homes for small group Bible studies, and so that in this way they can invite their family, relatives, neighbors, friends to also hear about Jesus. And I thank God that now we have five of our families or five of our church members who've opened their homes for small group fellowship. And I praise God that there are some, because of that, who have found Christ as their Savior. There are many ways that we can serve people in love. One of those ways that you can serve is by going on a short-term missions trip. And some of you have told me you've had an opportunity to go on a short-term missions trip. We have been blessed to have teams from here in Eastern PA join us. And when we have a team, because of that added manpower, we are able to do ministry that we normally would not do. In fact, over the years, God has used that team to meet people who we met for the very first time, and they're Christians. When a team comes, we do things like prayer walks, pass out gospel tracts. We do visitation, people who are interested in the Lord, and you share your testimony and retranslate for them into Thai. Teach the children in Bible club. If you like to teach God's word, teach or preach. If you're gifted in music, help with the church worship team or have special music. And then an open door in Thailand is the public schools are free to talk about religion. The Thai people have this philosophy: all religions are good because all religions teach us to be good people. They understand that if they want their students to be good, they should follow religion. Most of the Thai people are Buddhist. But we've had opportunities to talk to the school principal, and we tell them we have this team from America. They're native English speakers. They're willing to teach a free English camp for the whole morning. We're from the church right here in town. And can we tell the students as well about Jesus? And it's often the school director will say, well, you know, most of us are Buddhist, but I want my students to know about other religions. So because we have that team and teaching English, we're also able to share with them about Jesus, give out Thai gospel tracts, and give Thai New Testaments to the teachers. So I encourage you, take advantage of an opportunity to go on a short-term missions trip. That will be an opportunity where you experience missions firsthand. And if you're interested in coming and partnering with us in Thailand, please talk with Sue and I afterwards. The last thing that God wants us to do is to invest our life in worship to our King. The fact that we know Jesus, that we have been freed from our sin and forgiven by our sin, and that we have new life in Christ, that is the biggest blessing of all. And so we want to honor Him and express our love to Him. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Pastor Sukhprasan, the pastor of our mother church, the Mahapon Living Water Church, is an example of a man who is investing his life to worship the Lord. Sukhprasan grew up in northern central Thailand. He grew up in a Buddhist family. More than 90% of the Thai people are Buddhist, as well as worshiping and appeasing the evil spirits. About 6% of the Thai are Muslim, and less than 1% are Christian. The first one to hear about Jesus in his family was his grandmother. A missionary from Finland came to her village. And at first, Grandmom was not interested. In fact, she said she even tried to throw boiling water at this missionary to chase her away. But this missionary was persistent, kept on coming back. Well, one time his grandmother got very, very sick. And the missionary said, "Can I pray for you?" And God answered those prayers and miraculously healed his grandmother. His grandmother trusted in Christ and Jesus, and then all she did was talk about Jesus. His mother, Sukhprasan's mother, was the next to trust in Christ as her Savior. Sukhprasan's two older brothers became Christians, and then his dad became a Christian. But Sukhprasan said, "I was kind of stubborn and rebellious." When he was a teenager, he had a wild life, and he even got into drugs. And he said, "When I was 15, I ran away from home, left home for 2 years. My parents did not know where I was. All they could do was pray for me. But then it got to be Thai Mother's Day, and I missed my mother, and I decided I would go back and visit Mom. While he was there, the police arrested his friends who were doing drugs. When he came back, the police looked him up. But because they had no solid evidence against him, they didn't arrest him. But they gave him a very strong warning. Don't you ever touch drugs again." He said, "It really scared me, but it didn't stop me." And then he said, "God sent a snake." He and his brother decided, "We're going to go fishing in the canal." And there on the grassy banks of the canal, a green red-tailed viper bit him right above his ankle. A green red-tailed viper is extremely poisonous. You can die within an hour if you don't get immediate medical help. He cried out, "Jesus, save me! I don't want to die. And if you save me, I will serve you." His brother rushed him on the back of the motorcycle to the nearest hospital about 15 miles away. And there in the emergency room, the doctor examined him. He could very clearly see the fang marks on his leg. But when the doctor examined his blood, there was no venom. At the same time that he was there in the emergency room, another man was rushed in. He was also bitten by a green red-tailed viper. That man's leg turned black like it was burned. The doctors had to amputate his leg to save his life. But Sukhprasan suffered no ill effects. God miraculously spared his life. He chose to trust in Jesus as his Savior. He said, actually, even then, I was still a little bit stubborn. But he eventually surrendered his life to Christ, gave up his old life, and he decided, I'm going to get a job cleaning as the janitor at a church. He lived there at the church. The pastor also lived at the church or next to the church in the parsonage. This pastor was a godly man. He was impressed with his pastor's spiritual discipline. Every morning, the pastor got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and had his devotions. That pastor mentored him. And after several years, Sukh Prasad sensed that God was calling him into the ministry and to go to Bible college. When he went to Bible college, he went there by faith. He had no one who would sponsor him with a scholarship. His home church, his home district couldn't give him a scholarship, but he believed that God was calling him to the ministry. So while in Bible college, he worked part-time jobs. The college was able to find a couple scholarships for him, and praise God, he was able to graduate debt-free. We met Sukh Prasad in his last year of Bible college. We were looking for a pastor for the Mahapon Living Water Church. And I praise God, we have served alongside of him for the last 6 years. He's the pastor of our mother church. When we go back to Thailand, we're looking forward to partnering with him to plant another daughter church. He is a man who preaches God's word with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's an excellent worship leader who draws people into the presence of God. And he is one who I see that he has invested his life to worship our King. God wants us to do the same. All that we have in life, the very breath that we breathe, is a gift from God. All the things, all the money that you have is a gift from God. And most of all, the salvation that you share in Jesus is a gift. All of us have been saved from the deadly poison of sin. And now we have new life in Jesus. So my question is, and God's question is, will you invest your life and everything you have for his kingdom? What I encourage you to do is have the attitude of hands held open wide and say, God, this is my life. All I have, all that I am is yours. I give it to you. And that you're saying to God, God, I'm willing to go anywhere. I'm willing to do anything for you to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, that does not mean that you have to go overseas as a missionary. But what it means is you say, God, my life is yours. I want to follow your will. I want to give you an example. Sue and I have two children, Laura and Nathan. And we often get the question, well, are your children missionaries? No, they are not full-time missionaries, but they have a missionary heart. Our daughter Laura is a music teacher. She's the middle school and high school band director at an international Christian school in Thailand. In Hong Kong. But what particularly blessed my heart was one opportunity, she had an opportunity to lead a group of students teaching English, teaching music at a school in Thailand. And she was asked to share the good news of Jesus in Thai in that school. She is a Christian music teacher who desires to shine for Jesus. Our son Nathan is a mechanical engineer. And there was one time several years ago at Summit Grove Camp, the evening speaker ask the young people is to stand up and share what is your vision that God has given you for your life. And Nathan stood and he said, my vision is to be a light to the engineering world. Nathan is a mechanical engineer, but his passion is to serve Jesus. So whoever you are, whatever you do, you say to Jesus, it's yours. My career is yours. Because I am a Christian teacher. I am a Christian engineer. I am a Christian whatever. And wherever God leads me in this world, I will shine for him. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you because in Jesus we indeed have received huge blessings. And so, Lord, we offer them back to you to invest for your kingdom. Our time in prayer, our resources to expand your kingdom, our service and love, and most of all, our life to worship you. So, Lord, I pray that each of us would offer our lives to you and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to shine for you wherever you lead me. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.